freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Power through the Alaska Airlines studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to do you on the interview.
Don't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
Well, Brock, Seahawks had their first day of free agency yesterday. Four out, two remain, no new players. How'd they do?
Solid. It was a solid. I mean, I was about to text you and use your little phrase that you like to use on me. Settle down, little grasshopper. Settle down. It's the first day. It's the first few hours of free agency. I have a plan. The fact that Leonard Williams didn't go early, wasn't one of these names like a lot of the other names, gave me some confidence that Johnny was right. Johnny told Dave and Bob on Thursday, we're working. And I think you and I both listened to that sound and felt pretty good about it. That usually when he kind of goes public like that, they're close to getting that deal done. And ultimately, by the end of the day, they got their number one free agent. Their number one free agent in all the land was Leonard Williams. Mm-hmm. And they ended up getting him done to a deal that, yeah, it's costly. And $21 million a year is a whole bunch of cheese. But you know what? He's worth it. That's what the market was willing to pay. And you got your guy. As far as the others that have left, maybe Parkinson over Fance. You know, if you push me in a corner and said, who do you want? You know, you only get one of them. Who do you want? I think at this stage, Disley is probably, you know, with his injuries and everything else, you understand that. You shake his hand, you pat him on Billy Bozeman on the butt, say thank you for everything you've done. But it was probably between Parkinson and Fant. It sure sounds like it. They made an offer to Parkinson and probably wanted to find a deal for him. But ultimately, he goes home to Southern California, and you get 1A in a Noah Fant there. So all in all, I would say solid. But boy, is there a lot of work still to be done?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, with all those guys out the door, right? There's I think you have the second fewest players signed. 46 guys or something like that on your roster right now. So there's a lot of work to do. But all in all, I'd have to say just a solid foundational start to what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because they didn't bring in anybody new.
Nope.
Right? I mean, like you look at it, you're like, okay, let's see who. Well, no, there's nobody there. Okay. Well,
yep.
It's just a couple guys that were already here. Why do we think that is? Why were they somewhat quiet yesterday in terms of bringing in new players, especially after they cleared all of that space? And I kind of tried to, just spitball reasons, and I'm not putting them in any order here. These are just possible reasons, and we can probably kill a bunch of them right off the bat. Did they misread the market? Did they think that they were going to be able to find, other players yesterday and they went for a lot more than the Seahawks wanted? I don't think so. It didn't feel that way yesterday, did it?
Not really. No. And the fact that you were active once again in phase one, wave one with Leonard and pay him $20 million a year. No, I think you had a pretty good gauge of where it was going.
Would you have felt that way if they had signed Leonard a week ago, which they could have done?
They could have done, but if you're Leonard, you're never going to sign, or commit to that, or, you're going to wait till the full market is there and put a little pressure on. And I think that's just the way it gets played.
Did they spend the whole day negotiating with Leonard and never have time to find anybody or talk to anybody else?
No, I don't think so.
It doesn't work like that, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, just checking. Just want to make sure.
There's more than one line. Like when the phone line goes down at the old VMAC, they got some backup options.
They had to have that safety in for a meeting. So,
Do you remember when our lines have gone down at times? It's like, oh, gosh. How do we bring on a guest?
Yeah, you can't function.
You can't function.
It used to happen to us, but the year you were off, man, it used to happen all the time. Every time we had Jerry DePoto on, the lines would go down, and it was so embarrassing. I think it
you
might
think
have
that
been,
was accidental?
I do. Yeah, I think it was accidental.
Really? Does it happen with every guest?
Oh, you don't think that was embarrassing?
You don't think I was sabotaging that from afar?
All right, so it's not that.
No.
Do you think that it's hard to get free agents to want to come here?
I don't think so. No, I think this is a pretty esteemed place. This is not Cincinnati. This is not Arizona. This is not one of those places that year after year players.
Well, Cincinnati and Arizona signed new players yesterday.
They did, but they both get bagged on and get F minuses and most of those grades. And it's a pretty amazing environment to play. And unlike the marine layer that affects the way you hit a baseball, there's none of that effect here with the football. So maybe the loss of Pete. Of your four, that one I could say, well, maybe a little bit because of the unknown,
okay,
right? Because for 14 years, it was Pete here, and you kind of knew what the whole operation was, and now there's a lot of newness, a new coach, and all that. So I'll give you a little maybe on that one of the four. But I think the big one is your finale here.
Well, I got two more. I mean, are they just waiting to spend in the second wave here over the course of the next few days?
Yes.
And there will be more to come. It's just not all wave one guys.
Yes. Yes. And by the way, there's still wave one guys out there. There's still a big old middle linebacker that, you know, I think is trying to figure
out, how much
Houston's
going to
wheel. Yep. There are still a bunch of still wave one guys and big time money guys that are still trying to work their deal with their agents to get the very most out of, you know, probably competing offers out there. So, yeah, I would think it lands a whole bunch more on that, that they're going to play this game. Not like they did years ago that drove you and I absolutely crazy when they had huge cap space and it wasn't Conklin. But it was Finney, and it wasn't, you know, the big swing, and it was volume. I mean, they took a big swing, and they landed the big fish, the big cat yesterday, and got that one done. And now it's going to be, you know, supplementing with a bunch of – and who knows? Maybe Patrick Queen is you know, going to decide to come up to Washington, and that's something they really want to do. And the longer they wait, by the way, probably a little better that bottom line becomes for them. So, yeah, I think it probably lends itself a little more to that.
How will you feel about a Patrick Queen signing?
Well, I'd be pretty excited because that'd be somebody that they would target and somebody that can run and hit and somebody that's got a healthier body of work than a Jordan Brooks does. Of all the guys that left yesterday, Parkinson didn't really surprise me. Disley certainly didn't surprise me. I would say that Jordan, 3 for 30, surprised me a little bit. You?
Because it was doable?
Yeah, because
I'm not
that's
surprised at all. I just got the sense they want to go somewhere new.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're good. We just don't want the same defense that we had before.
No, but I kind of like some of his bark. I kind of like the way he emerged. I kind of like the fact that he came back after 9 months from an ACL. I kind of like that he did. There's, to me,
I think the problem is they don't like that he had the ACL and are worried about the future there. And I think they just want a different defense. And quite frankly, if they don't spend at linebacker, I'm not going to be upset. If Patrick Queen does not come here, that's not going to upset me at all. And not because I don't think he's a good player. I think he is, which is why if he does come here, I'm not like going to be mad about it.
Yep.
But I don't really want to see them spending big money at the linebacker position.
Yes.
No, the only guys that really kind of bummed me out yesterday, and I feel stupid saying because it's not like I even really know who he is. Late last night, John Simpson, the guard from Baltimore, ended up signing in with the Jets. I'm going, that would have been a deal I would have liked. Yep. Maybe they end up with Zeitler, but this guy's, what, 6 years younger than Zeitler? So,
and it was, what, 2 years, $20 million or
not so? Not even, 218. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a pretty doable number. And so, look, maybe they don't like him. Maybe look, it's not like I watched him and scouted him. Yep. Damian Lewis got paid yesterday, and I think he stinks. I mean, like, you know.
Salt got paid.
Got major paid. It's absurd.
Somewhere an appraiser down there in Tacoma's doing backflips. Somewhere Roger Dodger, who wanted a guard, is like, yes. Somewhere Dave Wyman early on.
Bad. Like, he wasn't very good. He had one good year, and then he was bad after that.
50 mil.
So I'm not going to sit here and be like, and lament the loss of a guard that I've never watched just because his name was, you know, put into a list somewhere that somebody said was pretty good.
Correct.
But, yeah, I mean, a deal like that sort of jumped out to me as sort of a bummer. The best free agent, according to The Athletic, on this entire market this year is Danielle Hunter. I'd rather see them sign Danielle Hunter than Patrick Queen.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you know how much I like him and have liked him for a while. I would have liked to have seen, the Brian Burns deal yesterday. Yeah, I was a little bummed to see somebody else do that instead of the Seahawks. That would have been fun.
But I don't know if I'm giving up that kind of draft capital and paying that kind of money.
You already gave it up for Leonard Williams.
Correct. So, yeah, I don't know if I'm making that move. And speaking of kind of system fit, too, he's a 4-3 real edge guy. Mm-hmm. You know, is a rusher more than a kind of set the edge, chase the edge, do the things that you kind of want to do. I would hope the next money, like you, goes somewhere on the line of scrimmage. Somewhere to a center, somewhere to a guard, somewhere to the line of scrimmage, either offensively or defensively. So I can't be too bummed. I could not believe how much Damian Lewis got paid. As I said, Pat Parkinson and Disley on the butt and appreciate all they do. Jordan Brooks, as you said, they're just not going to spend that kind of money on a linebacker, going to build it in front of them first.
I think they just hated what the defense was last year and want to try to change it as many ways as possible. Last option, Brock, and then we're going to take a quick break, give you everything you need to know and kind of go from there. A lot of NFL talk today. Is there any chance they're not planning to spend all this money and that they are kind of looking at this thing and saying, you know what, next year we're going to be a better team. We're going to be a year into this. We want to save some of this cap room for next year when we can go even bigger.
I don't know about next year. I think they always love to have that dry powder. I think they always love to, and you certainly saw it be very effective last year with Kyle Van Noy and Clowney and some of the pieces that Baltimore picked up late. So, yes, I would not expect them to go to Nordstrom's and spend the rest of this on the card today. I think they would keep some dry powder, not necessarily just for 25, but for moves to come throughout June, because they got to figure out who they are. Right, they got to bring all this newness in, all this newness of staff, some newness of players, this newness of guys that will be in here, and figure out in April and May and June a little what we are, maybe even a training camp, and hold on a second, we got to, you know, a little bit of dry powder over here to make those moves that have been both good here and were certainly good for Mike McDonald in Baltimore a year ago.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprising, somewhat slow start for the Seahawks yesterday, who cleared a lot of money in free agency and then used it to just sign two guys that were already here. The big ticket item, of course, is the big cat himself.
Blitz is coming. Howell gets hit. Howell is driven all the way back. Leonard Williams is going to get his first sack as a Seahawk.
Yeah, I love it. I'm glad to see him stick around. $21.5 million a year for 3 years. By the way, Brady had that within $500,000 a year.
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
darn impressive.
He's so smart.
For Brady yesterday. That should solidify that defensive line. And I'd be surprised if they did much more in the interior there, right? At least in terms of big names.
Yeah. Yeah, interior, not necessarily. Edge, more than likely. Linebacker, obviously. And still probably some pieces at the safety spot. Hey, listen, there is a lot of question about this new scheme and this new style, right? And you look at what Mike McDonald likes to do, and you probably from the back end forward, Salk, is where you see the biggest difference. For all of these years of stay on top and stay on top, and all these years of a post center field safety that's deeper than the deepest, that's not necessarily how this defense is going to rumble. It will look a little bit different, and because of it, you wonder, like, well, is this guy's scheme fit? Is this guy going to fit moving forward? There's no wonder with the big cat. I don't care if you play a 3-4, if you play a 4-3, if you play a 4-2 nickel, if he plays the 1, the 3, the 5, and that is why yesterday he is a fit and got the deal he got done.
All right, Noah Fant, the other guy that they bring back, he was only 26 years old. I would have guessed he was older than that, to be honest with you. He's only 2 years older than Michael Penix. Gets 2 years and $21 million to stick around. However, four departures. Jordan Brooks to Miami. Colby Parkinson to the Rams. Disley to the Chargers. Damian Lewis gets 4 years, $51 million in Carolina, which seems like a bit of an overpay. Crazy. Elsewhere in the league, Giants deal a second and a fifth for pass rusher Brian Burns. They sign him to a big-time deal. Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. Are you excited for that? $45 million a year
Am
for
I
Cousins?
Am I excited? Coles is excited down there in Atlanta.
I bet he is.
Sheesh.
Gardner Minshew to the Raiders. That seems like a fun fit with him in Vegas. Saquon Barkley, Bryce Huff to Philly. Leonard Floyd to the Niners. So, yeah, it's been a very busy and active
A gazillion
start.
Dollars. A yeah. gazillion total.
That's how much was spent? A total
yes.
of a gazillion.
A wow. gazillion.
Who knew?
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, the box score was not pretty for the Mariners yesterday, but they were actually pretty happy with how things went for Logan Gilbert.
Logan Reddy, big right-hander. The windup and the 2-2 on the way, and a swing and a miss and a fastball at 97 for strike three. Two strikeouts for Logan Gilbert. He 1-2-3 is the Padres here in the top of the first inning. Nice start for Logan.
Yeah, he ended up giving up four runs in just three innings, but Scott Servais happy.
Logan. I thought Logan's stuff today is the best it's been all spring. Really good fastball. The secondary pitch is working. You know, the second inning, umpire to help him out. He had a rough day back there today, and then a couple walks in the third. But overall, I thought his stuff was it's the best fastball we've seen, and the secondary pitches are good.
So that's certainly good news. Sounds like he also maybe threw another new pitch, Brock. He's added a little cut fastball to throw occasionally and help with some of that hard contact, which you've talked about. How do you eliminate some of the hard contact on the fastball? Well, he's going to throw a little cutter to see if he can just get guys off the barrel.
He cut his ERA down to 14 yesterday. Yeah. That was good.
He has not not had a fantastic spring. That's okay. Nice offensive day, though, for J.P. Crawford.
Here's the pitch. Swung on and a well-hit ball. Deep down the right field line, heading to the berm. Tatis going back, and goodbye, baseball. J.P. Crawford with his first home run of the spring. with Urias aboard. It's now the Padres 5 and the Mariners 3. Number one for J.P. Crawford.
Well, that's nice to see. Urias had a nice day. Mitch Haniger, Dom Canzone. Not a bad day, even though they got their doors blown off with a lot of the young pitchers giving it up late.
Did I see Urias make a nice play at third?
He did.
Barehanded,
he
little,
did.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then he had a little bloop single. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
You saw my guy down there, JD, get released in San Francisco, too, right? Did you see that?
I did.
Okay. That's not JD Drew, though.
No, it's still JD Davis, who you couldn't pick out of a lineup.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Kraken will get back to it tonight at home against Vegas after a few days off to regroup after the stinker on Friday night. Vince Dunn has been skating without contact, though, so we'll see if he's ready to go tonight. Gonzaga dominated to set up a familiar conference title match against St. Mary's tonight. Pac-12 tournament will tip off tomorrow. Huskies have USC. Cougs wait until Thursday with a first-round bye. And I'm told the Lady Grizz advanced yesterday in the Big Sky Women's Tournament.
Sure did. So Gonzaga did come back because they were down a little bit early. Yeah, but they did come back.
They won by 20 or something.
Yeah, they won by 12, 89-77. Yeah, yes, and a good day for the boys and the girls, Grizz, both making it to the semifinals. Yours truly finds himself in the City of Trees here in beautiful Boise.
Wow.
By the way, Boise, growing on, man.
Kind of like it.
I kind of like Boise. Yes, I kind of like Boise.
Wow.
It's... yeah, pretty nice. Lots of newness here.
Yeah,
I don't know about that,
maybe.
but it's a great destination. All walking
a great
distance
destination.
For a sporting event. For the Big Sky tournament, it is a great spot.
I mean, Vegas.
Good chance
Boise.
With the commissioner last night.
Yeah,
I'd say Boise.
I would say that my next guy's trip probably going to be to Boise.
Makes sense.
Seems likely. All right, that's everything you need to know. Quarter past 3 hours.
Makes sense because you're middle aged.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's still a little unnecessary. I don't think there's any reason to start throwing gratuitous shots in there.
Maura, you need to be careful, okay? Yeah. Because your trips go to Iowa, so you need to be a little bit careful.
Maybe glass houses and stones
and
all of that.
And you guys won't let it go.
Uh-huh. Well, the glass houses and the stones.
And then your buddy's coming to visit you, and then you're going to go back and reciprocate. And, because there's a connection. You and Iowa just got a beautiful connection.
Yeah.
Good day
Idaho
for the Grizz.
Would be like a big upgrade for you.
Good day for the Grizz. Either the boys or girls are going to make the big dance.
Yeah?
I'm going to say that right now.
One of the two of them will.
They're both in the semis today. We got NAU. The boys play Idaho State. So,
would your level of excitement be if the Lady Grizz make the NCAA tournament?
Well, that would be off the charts because I'd probably pack you in the bag because there'd be a good chance they're a 16 seed going to play Iowa.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what they could be.
That's like a legit.
Wait, you're
going
to bring Salk? It's in Iowa. We just talked about that.
I want to see Caitlin Clark.
Yep. That would be.
But Iowa's my place, you guys know. Yes.
Maura, we'll set up shop at the place that you bought there. Don't worry about it. We know you have a second home.
You're a little more in the you're a little more in the country. This is Iowa City.
There's a decent chance you're already going to be there. So there's you got that frequent flyer thing.
Yeah.
The bright lights, big city, Iowa.
No, if we get by NAU and then Eastern tomorrow, I would say that there's probably a 50-50 shot. We would be 16. Seed and either play at South Carolina
or at Iowa or at
USC. So it'd be pretty stinking
how
cool.
How fired up would your kids be to try to guard Caitlin Clark?
Pretty fired up. Yeah, pretty fired up. And the fact that Molly owns a Caitlin Clark shirt would fire them up
What would Molly wear?
Especially Macy.
Would Molly wear her Caitlin Clark shirt to the game?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, if that happens,
you break it, you own it.
I do want to be there. Yeah, good. I absolutely want to be there.
All right, well, root hard for the Grizz this afternoon and tomorrow.
All right. Coming up next, Brock, we're going to try to figure out what the Seahawks' plan is. Plus, I saw something yesterday morning that I have to tell you about because it totally blew me away and maybe made me change my mind on something I told you last week.
What?
That's next on Brock and Salk.
What?
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
What do you think the Seahawks' long-term plan is? That conversation coming up here in about 5 minutes. Brock, before we get there, I saw something yesterday morning. Maura showed it to me, and it maybe changed my answer to a question that you asked me last week. And I didn't think I would change my mind on this so quickly, but I was very impressed with what I saw. And this has been a long-standing debate and conversation that we've had. Oh. You asked me last week, I believe that Russell Wilson could be humbled and change his ways with his new team? And I said, well, there's been no evidence so far to suggest that anything like that would be the case. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty unwilling to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not going to fully 100% change my tune. But the video that he posted upon signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers was perfect.
Yes.
It was an absolutely perfect first step towards making that change, his face turn back to where he used to be, and showing that it's not about him. It's about the team. It's about the city. It's about the fans. And when he posted the video with just this song.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
As you may know, this is like the big Steelers thing.
Let's go.
They play Sticks at every game and fire up the crowd with a little Renegade.
The water's moving right now.
As it should be. There was no shots of Russ. He wasn't talking. He didn't say anything. He didn't stick his foot squarely into the middle of his mouth. He just let the Steeler brand, the Steeler history, the Steeler fans, the city of Pittsburgh, and this song tell the story.
Yep.
I don't know if he got good advice. I don't know if he thought of it himself. I don't know if somebody strapped him to a chair and forced someone else to actually do the tweeting and not allow him to do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever they did, it worked. I thought that was an absolutely ideal, perfect way for him to handle that move yesterday.
It's hard to keep track of all of his different companies, but west to east marketing, what? One of those was some, and now he's East Coast. Now he understands. Now he's Northeast.
Now he's gone west to east.
That's right. Exactly.
Exactly. He's just been moving steadily east.
Or now he's east to west or whatever it is. But yeah, it made a lot of sense. And, you know, this was a move. And I never agreed with Shil Kapadia and some of those that were like, there's not going to be a home. I can't find a fit for him. And we talked about this last week. I said, there's one perfect fit for him. There is one place that has organizational identity. There's one place that's got a clear, for decades, run the ball, play defense. One place with a very strong head coach. One place with a quality offensive coordinator that knows how to get the most out of his talent. In one place with a running back, a tight end, a deep threat, you know, you just kind of, this is one of those one place common sense. And they, you know, at $1 million and a veteran minimum, if you're Pittsburgh, and I know some Pittsburgh friends and fans and people, they're pretty stoked about this because you get him where Bill Parcells always loved to get guys with their backs against the wall with your last shot.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see whether or not he actually has enough left, right? Health-wise, running-wise, ability-wise, mental. Like, I mean, we'll wait and find out how real any of that
stuff
is.
Like, if we were in Pittsburgh, you do this deal. If we were in Pittsburgh and we're doing Pittsburgh radio, there is no downside. Like, hey, man, it's $1 million and Denver's paying all of it. And, you know, we cut you or you do any of this crap or you start to open your mouth with some stupid let's weld, whatever cliche you're going to say next. Like, not going to happen in the Steel City. So shut your mouth.
If I hear let's weld, I take back everything I've said so far this morning because that will honestly be the funniest thing I've ever heard.
There you go. Yeah. So
that's how we'll know if he's really changed.
Right.
If he does not have like a catchphrase at the end of
everything.
Interview. Let's weld would be the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yes.
Steel City. Let's weld. Steel City. Let's weld. Now, I really like the video. I like what he did yesterday. Yep. And I see other people saying, Salk, how many other free agents posted hype videos to announce their signings? Oh, none, only Russ. That's fine.
That's also not the point.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a hype video to announce his signing. It felt like, hey, I'm excited to be going to Pittsburgh. And I didn't have any issues with it. I thought it was great. I thought it was really a nice change for him. And it wasn't about him. It was about the future and about the Steeler brand. And so, good on Russ. We'll see if
I know we're
going
to get to the Seahawks. 866-979-3776. 866-979-3776. Are you rooting for Russ in Pittsburgh? Yes or no? Just a simple yes or no.
Wow.
I just am very, very curious to the listening audience this morning. I'm not that good to multitask while on the air.
Okay.
But 866-979-3776. All of you listen, just a very simple yes or no. Are you now rooting? Russ is in the AFC.
All right, hold on. Before you say this, I don't want to hear from people that were already rooting for him in Denver.
Okay.
Right? Like, if you were already rooting for him in Denver, then we get it. You're probably still rooting for him in Pittsburgh. That's not relevant.
Okay.
But if you were rooting against him in Denver, are you now rooting for him in Pittsburgh? Is that fair?
It was easy to root against in Denver, especially year one, that you were attached to that. There were, you know, it was complicated, kind of. Not really. You really want him to fail so you could have the number five pick in the draft, or what looked like at times the number one pick in the draft. Yeah. So, yeah, now that he is, you're free of any attachment in any way to that. And now he's in Pittsburgh and he's falling flat on his face.
A lot of people saying yes. Not everybody. A lot of people saying let's weld, which is funny. Yeah, I don't get the Russ hate. Yes, no question. Yes, 100%. Yes, 100%. No, absolutely not. I hate the Steelers. I'll never root for the Steelers. No, not rooting for Russ. Yep. Yes, I like a good comeback story. No, didn't root for him in Denver. Mm-hmm. I would be a bit of a something, but I am cheering for him with the Steelers. So, yeah, it's kind of all over the map. I would say it's about 60-40 yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You?
I don't know yet. I haven't decided.
Yep. Yeah,
I haven't made a firm commitment yet on that. You are, I can already
Maura,
tell.
Maura, Justin,
you are rooting for Maura, him like a little smitten Justin. Kitten again.
Brock, you know I can't do that. It's the Steelers.
Fair enough. Yeah,
for him personally, Maura's, just because I don't Maura like
shaking
I don't
her
like
head.
Watching people suffer. So
Maura shaking her head.
I'm not gonna lie, I have that when people show you who they are.
Believe
a couple different times. Believe them. Mm-hmm. Like I just don't. Yeah. I don't think behind the scenes he's the best. I hope he's changed. But I'm not rooting for him, no.
That's such a, I hope you find what you're looking for type response.
I am not committing to an answer on this yet. Brock is obviously rooting for him. Justin can't root for this.
Not a
chance. You are. Stop it. Stop lying, you liar. You lying liar. You are on the Russ bandwagon. It started a week or two ago. You are back on the bandwagon, Brock Heward. Don't lie to me.
He opens his mouth and says some stupid cliches.
Yeah, but he hasn't yet.
I know.
Until then, you were rooting for him.
Yep.
You are so willing to forget everything that's happened the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. You are right back to it.
He did not just eat a slice of humble pie, okay? He was like the dude in Stand By Me that threw up all over the moose, all over.
The right? Fraternal Order of the Elks?
Yes. He had so many pies of humility stuffed in his face. So, you know, he's eating
the
them.
The full-on Barf-a-rama?
Oh, I wish I could chant that, but I'm not going to do that.
No.
Yeah, and then he went on Brandon Marshall's podcast and said he's going to win 2 Super Bowls in the next 5 years.
I mean,
and
that was like suboptimal.
All he knows is winning.
Yeah.
There's a text that just, it's already buried because of all the yeses and nos, but from the 801 that says somebody's going to try to weld his mouth shut.
Well, somebody must have done that yesterday in order to get him to put out that hype video. I don't know what direction it goes, but I am intrigued. I am watching and I'm not rooting for him yet, but I'm a little open-minded to how I may feel here in a couple of weeks.
Me too.
All I'm saying. No, you're not. Too. You are back. You are such a lying liar. I've never heard anything
I cannot be a smitten kitten for multiple people for crying out loud.
You're a smitten kitten for JJ, and you're just a big fat liar when it comes to the fact that you're now rooting for Russ 100%. All right. What do you think the Seahawks' plan is overall? Like, what do you think they are ultimately trying to accomplish this offseason?
I hope when this is said and done that we can look back and go, good, I like this. They took care of the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And I hope they pay off. I saw Daniel Jeremiah or somebody tweet yesterday that who did the Chargers sign? The Chargers signed a blocking tight end and a 240-pound running back. Mm-hmm. The Chargers are going to do what Jim Harbaugh wants to do and build his team in that identity. It's why he was appealing to you and to me. And, hey, man, like Jim Harbaugh and to a lot of NFL teams, because he knows how he wants to clearly build and then identify pieces to that team. If the mantra, and all I'm going to do is take Mike McDonald at his word on that first press conference, sitting down with Bump and Stacy afterwards, if the mantra is chasing edges, mm-hmm. right? Chasing edges. And that carries a bunch of different, you can take that a bunch of different ways, right? Chasing the margins, chasing edges, you know, that this is what we're going to be about. Then you've got to do that first and foremost on the line of scrimmage, because the edge of a football team, the edge of that dynamic is, well, it's the line of scrimmage. It's right on the edge of that line of scrimmage, offensively and defensively. So, and two signings yesterday represent that. Two guys that have their hand in the ground playing at the line of scrimmage.
You put Fant on those. How is Fant as a blocking tight end?
Okay, serviceable, better than he was in Denver, where he many times was challenged and mocked, and you know, fans were super frustrated, and Mark Schlereth, you know, watched every down of his, would tell you not physical enough. I thought he was certainly much more willing than Jimmy Graham ever was as a blocker here, but he's a dynamic dude. And this system, you know, that Grubb ran at Washington is loved dynamic tight ends, difference makers. Westover was a difference maker in the passing game, and they used four different tight ends. So, yeah, I would include him on chasing that edge. So, Does that mean today a marquee, you know, big, another big move defensive lineman? Probably not. Like, mm-hmm. I don't see a Danielle Hunter or something like that happening. But the next phase to me has got to be somewhere guard to guard, because Damian Lewis is out the door. Phil Haynes is out the door. Your center's out the door.
Guards left. Like, the guard market took off yesterday. A bunch of those guys signed. I mean, Kevin Zeitler's kind of the one name left on the guard mark. Doesn't mean there aren't other guys who don't have as big a name, but he's sort of the one name left.
Yep. Yep, he is. So I would like that. I would like the next move, and it will probably come on Bump and Stacy's show, because that seems like every big move and every breaking news comes following us. But I would sure like that to be an interior offensive lineman. Mm. The Rams did it yesterday, right? I mean, you sent that note to us. They re-sign one of their own, and then they get Jonah Jackson, and they pay him, to your point, this guard market went crazy, and pay him 3 years, $50 million. But they're building that thing from the inside out. There's part of me that's a little jelly with that, and part of me that would like to see the next commitment by these Seahawks made right there in the interior of their offensive line.
Yeah, I think I would be right there with you. I still don't know that I understand the actual answer to my question, and I'm not faulting you for not answering, because I don't know that any of us know. What is the plan? Like, what are they trying to accomplish this offseason? Are they trying to get back to being a Super Bowl contender in 1 year? Is this the beginning of building something that's going to be long-term sustainable? Mm-hmm. I still don't know that I feel like I really understand the answer to that.
No, in the first 24 hours of the legal tampering period, probably not going to answer that. The first week is going to give us a clue. The first 2 weeks is going to give us a further clue. These pro days and what we're hearing after that, Michigan's pro day will be a week from Friday. And I'm not just talking J.J. McCarthy. There's Chris Jenkins. There's Junior Colson. There's a couple good edge players. I mean, there's a bunch of Michigan Wolverines, kind of like Washington Huskies. So you're like, yeah, I could use that. I kind of like that. I could see that as a Seahawk. So, you know, first day gives us a little sniff. First week, first couple weeks, first month, ultimately the draft. But Salk, there's a lot of moves to be made. You know, you just look at the raw number. You just look at the raw number of Seattle Seahawks on their roster right now on their website, and it will tell you there are going to be a lot more moves to follow here.
Well, yeah, and I guess I want to know the answer to this, because I feel like it helps me understand those moves and put them into context, or try to predict what other moves they might be trying to make. Without it, I feel like I'm in a learning mode.
Do you feel like the NFL is kind of, you know, blowing up your wires a little bit with team building over the years, right? That just
you think you have a handle on it, it changes.
Yeah, and just like, man, is this really dumb luck when it comes to some of this draft? Is it really just dumb luck where some of the market falls? Kind of like, you know, buying a house or moving to a place and finding the right time, right place. You know, when all of a sudden the Rams, who are supposed to be terrible, or a playoff team, when all of a sudden the Seahawks are supposed to be terrible or a playoff team, like, you know, the NFL is a little different than our baseball counterparts, and one day our NBA counterparts, maybe even our NHL counterparts, because it just feels like, man, in 1 year you can do such a remarkable, remarkable turn in that roster. And his teams have shown with the salary cap and eating all this cash and making these kind of moves too. That thing is movable, and is it fungible? And, you know, you can flexible, and you can make a whole bunch of moves in a hurry that change your direction big time.
Well, let's ask Brock some football questions. We call Blue 88.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Heward breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
There are moments where I'm just so grateful that we get to work together, Brock, and this is one of them. I loved your observation yesterday, and I want to ask you about it. Blue 88, question number one. What did we learn about the wide receiver market yesterday?
We learned that those boys were not really involved in phase one. Michael Pittman was. Mike Evans got his deal done early. So some, you know, big dominant receivers certainly got their money. Well, there's a lot of guys yesterday looking at this going, hello, hello, can you answer my phone? Hello, can I get in on this party? Hello, the salary cap's $255 million. Can you pay your boy out here on the perimeter? And I think a lot of the team said, yeah, you're just going to have to wait a little bit, because this is the deepest wide receiver draft, and you're starting to hear rumblings of that, Salk, from more and more people. I know you guys had Zuerlein on yesterday, and it's probably a lot of McCarthy and other moves, but You know, if you ask him about the receivers, he'd probably say the same thing that DJ has said and others have said. Like, man, I cannot remember a draft like this. And then, oh, by the way, you see second and third rounders the last few years pop and pop and pop. And do I really have to spend, you know, in the top 10 on a wide receiver? Well, you know what? If there's a really unique one like Harrison or Adunze or Neighbor, sure. But, man, this thing is going to stretch. There are teams that feel like there are starters. Come in here like Tank Dell and be a difference maker starter in the second or third round. So why am I going to give some of this big old cash to this perimeter player on the outside? Why would I ever trade a first round pick for a DK Metcalf when I've got the next DK Metcalf? You know, in fact, there's a big old receiver from Ole Miss in this draft. Like, no, I can find that, and I sure like to pay him what I got to pay him and not, you know, top of the market, 18, 19, 20 million bucks. So I think some of that DK Metcalf conversation, Salk, we need to shelve a little bit because the market's not, to me, super favorable.
You need to shelve it because the market has changed,
not
because it's not the right idea for the Seahawks.
Well, the premise is great. Yeah, the premise makes sense. Like, how do I add value to my team? But then you got to see what the market is willing to pay. And if yesterday was any indicator for these wide receivers, it is a saturated market, both in the free agent side and certainly a saturated talent, deep supply on this draft side, which makes making that kind of move a little bit tougher.
All right, question number two. Doesn't sound like Bobby Wagner is going to be back in Seattle. I saw The Athletic had him as their 95th best free agent in this market. Brock, why won't he be here?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Bobby Wagner?
Okay, I'm sorry, I just got a text. It was kind of important text.
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Bobby's not going to be here because he doesn't cover well enough. I think when you look at, and old Hawk Blogger and I were chatting about this and taking a look at Mike McDonald, what he likes. And oh, by the way, some of Mike McDonald's kind of free agent linebackers who grade out very high as on the pass side of things are very much still in play and very much still out there. And they're not necessarily named Patrick Queen at the top of that market. So keep an eye on some of that. I know I will over the course of this week. But Bobby's not going to be here because he just cannot cover well enough. A Patrick Queen and you know, those guys in Baltimore, Salk, the guys in Michigan, like, you got to really run and cover in space. And right now, Bobby is a downhill dude, and 180 tackles were representative of what he is, still is, in the run game. But what he is in space and what he was in space was at times a liability the last couple years, and certainly last year with the Seahawks. Like, how many times did I text you in a game, like, watch, third down, they're going to just throw right at 54. They're going to throw at him. They're going to throw at, you know, they're just going to throw into that zone and into that situation. So I think that's why we saw the news earlier in the week that Bobby has gotten indications from the team that you're free to go test the market. I hope Bobby lands somewhere. I think he can still play the run incredibly well. I think if Bobby Wagner played 50% of the snaps in a game, Salk, at linebacker, and played first and second down, he could still be a difference-making linebacker. But a three-down linebacker and one that's got to play in space and play to some of the scheme that McDonald wants to do, I just don't think that's a fit, and I think they told him so earlier.
All right, question number three. Where's Drew Locken end up?
Yeah, I just went through all the different teams, Salk. It was not a great day for Drew Lock's market yesterday because a lot of teams gobbled up guys. Jacoby Brissett goes to the Patriots on a one-year deal. You mentioned Gardner Minshew goes on a two-year deal to the Raiders. Obviously, Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. Some of the big moves. Baker resigns in Tampa Bay. I mean, there's big, big money spent there. Do you realize there's $300 million quarterbacks now in the NFC South? Shush. You want to talk about a positive, actually? I mean, a significant positive that we always say, hey, man, you got to get going with your team on a rookie contract or a manageable QB contract. You know whose contract is very manageable? Geno Smith's. When you compare it to Baker Mayfield and Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins, all making $130 to $180 million at their locales there in the NFC South. But anyhow, back to Drew, maybe as a backup in Indy, Minnesota. Obviously, Kirk Cousins leaves. There's a bit of a void in Minnesota. It's kind of a West Coasty system, an L.A. Rams system there with Kevin O'Connell. Could Minnesota be a fit? Could be a bridge quarterback there if they draft somebody in the top 10? And obviously, they love supposedly J.J. McCarthy as well. The Rams as a backup instead of Carson Wentz right back home here in Seattle. Yeah, I think if the receiver market was not overly kind yesterday to a DK Metcalf move, I think the QB market was overly kind to the Seahawks when it comes to Drew Lock, as maybe this play still being the best fit for him.
All right, that is today's Blue 88. I don't know that I'm fully with you on the wide receiver thing. I mean, just, you know, Pittman got paid and Evans got paid. So, I mean, the two marquee wide receivers that were around and available this week did get paid. The guys that didn't aren't in that category. They're not marquee. They're not game changers. They're not difference makers.
Well, Ridley's a pretty talented player. Ridley's
older
a pretty talented
at this
player.
Point, right?
A little bit.
I mean,
a little bit.
Well, and we'll see what he ends up getting. I don't know. I see this text, and I'm going to disagree with it vehemently. Salk's idea turns out to be completely wrong, and it's proven he has no idea what he's talking about when it comes to the NFL and what they're thinking. Shocker. I actually would say my idea is proven to be quite right. That wide receivers are not that valuable, which is why you look to trade one if you can and find a sucker out there who wants to give you more value than what that position is worth. If you can't get that kind of value for DK Metcalf, you give up. It's fine. Like, I'm not like, this isn't a move that's the only way you can succeed. But if it gives you the opportunity to bring back enough value, of course you want to try to do something like that.
By the way, I was wrong. Darnold in the middle of the night 8 hours ago signed with Minnesota. So take Minnesota off that list. And I'll tell you who else becomes a little intriguing. And I don't know if it's intriguing enough to Seattle because it's still a very, very, very large amount of money for a backup. But where is Justin Fields going to end up? I mean, you know, if you were Justin Fields and there was a video last week of him going home to Atlanta, he's doing backflips. Well, that did not happen. And you can do the same little conversation right here. You know, a destination for Drew Lock, a destination for Justin Fields.
Yep.
Justin Fields, a guy that this market falls so much that, you know what, maybe we take a flyer on him. I know there's some of our listeners, you know, in the listening audience that have mentioned that name a bunch over even the last month or so. So, yeah, that's why the market is what the market's willing to pay. The market is what the market is willing to pay, and you will never know exactly. I know Brady Henderson nailed it to $500,000 when it came to Big Cat, so maybe some of those top free agents, you do have a pretty good bead, but as far as positionally, as far as team-wise, we saw that, you know, in 2014 with two defensive ends that were difference makers.
I like this text as well. Salk, you're dumb on this. Elite wide receiver is incredibly valuable. It's untradeable value. So let me just understand. I'm wrong because it's not valuable enough to get anything back, and I'm wrong because it's so valuable you can't trade it.
Yes.
What if those two wrongs, and bear with me here, make a right? I'm just saying.